In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Which of you desires life, the psalmist asks, and covets many days to enjoy good? He's not simply asking for a long life, but good days, contented days, days full of life, abundant and rich with love, justice, and peace. Look to Him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed, he continues. Which of you desires to radiate life and shine with peace? He boldly invites us to seek the Lord. O taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a rather daring admonition, to seek and trust your experience. Walk with God and find out whether or not you are filled with good things. Happy are those who take refuge in Him. It is easy to be skeptical of this optimism and quickly dismiss this kind of sentiment if the psalmist didn't continue with, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." He has been among those who cry for help, crushed in spirit and brokenhearted. It hasn't necessarily been an easy life, but he invites us to taste nevertheless. What contentment has the psalmist experienced then? And what satisfaction has God's presence brought? He was surrounded by death-dealing powers, lies, evil, violence, just as we are. In our times, greed and power are disguised under advertising campaigns and national propaganda. People continue to be economically exploited and oppressed. And violence continues to escalate around the world. The psalmist indicates that we are consuming a fatal diet. The patterns of life that we have acclimated to are killing us. We are eating spoiled food. The psalmist, crushed and broken, is appealing to us, pleading to us, to taste and see that the world was not made for this. Try a new diet. Taste the sweetness of praising God's goodness, wondering at His love, and worshiping our peace. The psalmist longed for God's instruction to be pursued, for wisdom to make herself present, for the word to be written on our hearts. In the gospel reading, John declares Jesus to be the fulfillment of this very longing. Jesus is also appealing to us to taste and see. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In Jesus, we have the embodiment of Torah, God's wisdom and instruction for life, on display in the flesh. Not just a legal warning, but the glowing heart that the law points to. Jesus is not simply the giver of new instruction or commands. He does not just simply bring us manna from heaven. Rather, He is the bread of heaven. He is true food and true drink. He is the bread of life. We encounter eternal life in the face of Jesus Christ. He radiates the life of the world to come, the kingdom of God. The world's true direction, what the world was created for, is revealed to us in Him. The future is made present. The grain of the universe is opened to our eyes. The event of enlightenment is also an event of judgment, though. For our lives are exposed. We are confronted with the truth. We have not lived with the grain of the universe. Our bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander is laid bare, as Paul describes. The veil is lifted so we can see our world with new eyes and our heart with frightening clarity. It is a moment of decision, an invitation. We can continue in the path we have lived. We can continue trying to survive on a diet of spoiled food, or we can begin recovering from food poisoning. Through our union with Jesus, we are grafted into life. By believing, we embrace the world's true end. We stake our life and actions in the revelation of Jesus. With good food and healthy drink, our physician strengthens us to become ourselves in ways we did not know possible. We are fed by God to live new lives, true lives. Lives that are aligned with the direction of the universe. A place where the weakest members of our world are not forgotten. Where each person is seen as God sees them and loved as God loves them. But here is the rub. The community that Jesus calls us to be is at cross currents with the society around us. Our community, by pointing to something beyond the present, puts the present situation into question. It displaces our privileges and vested interests in the present situation and repositions them for the age to come. It places our commitments in a world where there is a place for all to thrive and be fully alive. As long as we pray, "Thy kingdom come," no government, no institution, no authority is final. There is still an openness and hospitality to an unrealized future. God empowers us to love one another, to give ourselves to one another. The possibilities of a new world are created in and through one another. It is not easy to adventure out from the apparent safety of the present. The familiarity of the known for the unknown. There is a denial of ourselves that we must embrace. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. It is not a sacrifice to maintain the status quo, but a willingness to suffer for the humanity of others. It's not that God delights in suffering. But the only way for a new world to be born out of this one is through sacrifice. Our love must sacrifice not because God desires it, but because the world is broken. The way we have structured our societies makes love a costly pattern of life. We long for a day when love will be unrestrained in the life of God. Freed from the fear of death, and self-serving ends. What we see in Jesus Christ is the revelation of that truest reality. But with each day, there is a call to come out from our captivity and envision the new heavens and new earth. O taste and see that the Lord is good. There is a promise of a full heart, a contented spirit, a satisfied mind. We can be deeply rooted in the word of life, in the wisdom of God, but the present age continues to confront us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In this tension, there is a strong pull to seek some escape, to grumble and groan in the wilderness. The 13th century mystic Hadevik probed this inner struggle well. She was among a new movement of women called the Bahaina in the Low Countries, modern-day Netherlands and Belgium, who wanted to live the apostolic life of aiding the poor and ill beyond the convent by forming communities of prayer and service. When difficulties come, we are tempted to simply move inward and upward. But in Jesus, the surprising wisdom of God is discovered. She challenges us, saying, "We all wish, indeed, to be God with God. But God knows there are few of us who want to live as men with His humanity, or want to carry the cross with Him or want to hang on the cross with him and pay humanity's debt to the full. If we are to see God by moving inward and upward, we must continue to follow that movement of God. That movement of God that we see in Jesus by going downward and outward. The lover of humanity cannot be found apart from my neighbor. By finding a brother or sister in the stranger among us, God bursts forth in that embrace. Humanity and the world is pulled forward into the life of God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. The healing of the world will not be an easy recovery, but being fed on divine wisdom and life will deeply satisfy.